Sewer Ninjas is dedicated to solving your home sewer issues with the latest no-dig sewer repair technology to minimize cost and disruption. They can repair your sewer lateral line with minimal intrusion, saving you thousands. When you need help, turn to the drain and sewer experts for Milwaukee and the surrounding communities. Give Sewer Ninjas a call, 414-250-8605. Once again, that's 414-250-8605. Find out more at sewerninjas.com.
For a reliable, locally owned and operated auto body shop, turn to Mako Auto Body Shop and Painting in New Berlin. They fix routine dents and dings along with structural repairs. If your car has been damaged in an accident, you can count on their expertly trained technicians to provide high-quality work. Plus, all structural repairs are backed by a lifetime warranty. Go to Mako.com for more information. That's Mako of New Berlin. The Michigan Wolverines are now your college football national champions, and we're talking about it on this special edition of the 414 Sports Podcast, presented by Sewer Ninjas and driven by Mako of New Berlin. Here we go. But instead, it's the 414 Sports Podcast, and it starts right now. 4-1-4. It is a special edition of the 414 Sports Podcast, presented by Sewer Ninjas and driven by Mako of New Berlin. I'm Don Wachilis. Thank you for logging in, as always, whether you've done so on Spotify, Google, Apple, wherever you're getting your podcast from. Go ahead, hit that like, subscribe button, all the fun stuff that we have to say in podcast land. We would definitely appreciate it. So the national championship has wrapped up. It will be the Michigan Wolverines, the number one team in the country, taking down the number two team in the country, that being the Washington Huskies, 34-13. In what was overall a fairly dominant performance by the Michigan Wolverines, but a game that was eerily similar to what we saw in the Rose Bowl, a Michigan team that got out very fast in the first quarter, get two big runs, go up 14-3 before the first quarter comes to an end. And then we watch that Wolverine team kind of muddle through quarters two and three. This is a team, again, that only put 3 points up in the second quarter. Washington gets a touchdown, and we go to half looking at a 17-10 game. We've got a ball game once we get to halftime. Washington starts the third quarter, comes out. Michael Penix Jr. throws an interception. He had a rough evening. Credit the Michigan defense for creating a lot of that. But even with that turnover, the defense again for Washington was able to hold Michigan to just a field goal. But the storyline will be the fact that Washington could not in any form or fashion get their offense going on Monday. They'll finish with 301 yards of offense in that championship game, only rushing for 46 yards. And we know it was going to be about Michael Penix Jr. and what he could do. He struggled. You wonder what's going to happen as far as the film study goes from the scouts in the NFL. Did it affect his draft stock at all, looking at the way he played on Monday evening, going 27 of 51 for 255 yards? He throws a touchdown, but he also throws two interceptions. And Michigan, credit them, because they found a way, much like what Arizona State did to Washington early in the Pac-12 season, by throwing a number of different coverages at this Washington Husky offense, by faking blitzes, dropping people back, then on some occasions actually, you know, coming off the corner, whatever the case may be. They did a good enough job of mixing up their defensive schemes that put Washington on its heels. And I heard one of the post-game interviews, as far as everybody, you know, rehashing what just took place, really making a strong equation and throwing some film clips up as to what Michigan did in relation to what ASU did during the Pac-12 season, which really gave Washington a whole host of issues. Even though they ended up beating ASU, it still created a number of problems, and Michigan's just got too much talent on that team that they weren't going to make the kind of mistakes that ASU did. Michigan will finish the championship game with 443 yards of offense. The most telling is the fact that they rushed for 303 because J.J. McCarthy did not have his best night. McCarthy goes 10 of 18 for only 140 yards. He did not throw a pick. He did not throw a touchdown. They definitely relied solely on their running game. But the headline in all of this for me is the fact that Washington was only able to convert on 2 of 14 third down attempts. That is the headline. You can talk about 46 yards of rushing. You can talk about the fact that Washington only put 13 points on the board, but only going 2 of 14 on third down, to me, says it all. This team could not figure out a way to sustain a drive. The other thing that I think affected Washington is that ACC reffing crew that allowed, I think, a little bit more than maybe what they're used to in the Pac-12. There was a lot of hand-checking and pulling and grabbing, especially with the receiver core on both sides. This is not a one-sided thing. This is not Michigan only doing it to Washington. Washington did the same thing to the Michigan wide receivers. I don't know if Washington knew how to overcome that. I think because of the physicality of the way football is played in the Big Ten, I think Michigan had a easier time of figuring out how to get through that. I think it put Washington on its heels a little bit, and by no means am I blaming the refereeing crew, the officiating, and by no means am I saying it is the sole reason as to why Washington lost the game, but I think it was a factor, and I think Michigan found a way to overcome it because, again, of the style of play that goes on in the Big Ten and the style of play that goes on in the Pac-12. So now the national championship goes to the Michigan Wolverines, and now the storylines start coming out. Will Jim Harbaugh come back? Now, I've said on the radio on the Journey House College Sports Show, which you can find Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 on 97.3 The Game, that I think Jim Harbaugh is gone. Matter of fact, I'm putting this podcast together on a Tuesday. I think already by tomorrow he could exit stage left. We saw today the Tennessee Titans fire Mike Vrabel. There was talk apparently of some form of a trade that may have involved Vrabel, but the ownership did not want to wait, which tells me, at least in my mind, I think San Diego is a viable landing spot for Jim Harbaugh. I think the Tennessee Titans want to be that spot again for Jim Harbaugh, and they want to just, okay, Mike Vrabel, thank you for six seasons. I know in 2021 you were coach of the year, but we're moving on. I think they want to make a strong bid for the likes of Jim Harbaugh. So that headline will be out there, I think, almost on a daily basis until we find some sort of conclusion. Remember, Michigan has put a substantial contract on the table for Jim Harbaugh, and he has not signed it. Jim Harbaugh went out and found an agent that has ties with the NFL, strong ties with the NFL. So indications are that he's leaning in that direction. And for the sake of me already owing the pipe bomb and the professor a box of Pop-Tarts, I hope he does it tonight so I can kind of get back to even money, at least as the Pop-Tarts go. The other storyline for me in watching that game is one of the things that I couldn't get around was the fact that Michigan, with their physicality, kind of willed their way through that second and third quarter in which we talked about. They were kind of awful offensively, but then made things happen in quarter number four and came away with the win. Washington being in the Pac-12 is notorious for what? Speed and throwing the ball around. What is it that the Badgers are trying to evolve into? We're trying to watch Phil Longo and that staff in Madison evolve the Badgers into more of an air raid style offense. Watching the championship game last night gave me even more concern about what's happening in Madison. And I don't mean that as if I think the Badgers are a dumpster fire, that Luke Fickell and staff can't do anything. That is so far from the truth, because they've got a few portal transfers, some pretty significant portal transfers now that are coming in. And again, we'll talk about it Saturday on the Journey House College Sports Show. But it just, watching that game had me thinking, like, okay, here's a team in the Washington Huskies with a ton of offensive talent that was highly capable throughout the Pac-12 season, went undefeated, took down a really talented Oregon team twice, and yet when it came to playing what I would call bully ball, Big Ten-style football, they couldn't match up. And so again, whether my concerns are correct, whether they are far-fetched, whether it's way too soon to even think about, I have no idea. But it was just something that popped into the old cranium in watching it. So again, Michigan wins the national championship. They finished the season undefeated. I close on this note because I found it amusing. It is a site that really focuses on the Georgia Bulldogs, a site called Dog Nation. And their headline on this Tuesday afternoon was Michigan Nation's Best, but college football deserved a better ending. That's a bitter group down there in Georgia. I can kind of understand why, considering how good they've been over the last few years. But those are the types of headlines I think we're going to see woven into this national championship, because there are a lot of people upset with the fact that you had a coach in Jim Harbaugh that was suspended 6 games this season. But yet, that's a very talented team, and when push came to shove, they got the job done. All right, we're going to wrap things up on this special edition talking about the college football championship. Thanks, as always, for logging in. We'll have some more stuff popping up for you on Monday. Stay safe. Watch the shoveling. Stay dry. Be well. We'll see you on Monday.